Commerce, Gaming, and Land Committee meeting to order. Today is September 11th. The time is 1:00. First item on our agenda is roll call.
Congresswoman Pratt? Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Here.
Congresswoman Stabler?
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Present.
Congressman Walker? Congresswoman Goodfox?
Present. Next item on our agenda is prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we ask that you look down upon the elected officials that help make decisions for the Osage Nation. We ask that you look down upon our men and women in uniform, our elders and our youth. We ask that you wrap your arms around all those in mourning. We have a lot of families in mourning right now, Lord. So we ask that you put your arms around them and help comfort them. We remember the men and women from 9/11 that lost their lives in Manhattan and the Pentagon. We just ask that you guide us, protect us, keep us safe. All these things we pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Next item on the agenda is the approval of minutes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn arrive, then leave, and then come back again? I don't recall that. On the back page, it talks that she arrived at one.
She might have stepped out.
I wasn't here for roll call. I stepped in to the meeting 5 minutes. So if you look at roll call, my name isn't on the roll call. Mm-hmm. It says I was absent.
And then it says she arrived.
Then after prayer, I stepped into the meeting.
And then on the back page, it talks about.
Okay.
Oh,
and that's, yeah, I think that happened both times.
Thank you.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Move to approve the minutes from September 10th as presented.
Second.
Motion on the floor with a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
Motion carries. Next item on our agenda is ONCA 1977, an act to provide an appropriation to the executive branch of the Osage Nation for fiscal year 2020 in the amount of $25,857,782 and to establish an alternate effective date. We are looking at section 25, which is the Gaming Enterprise Board. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
When we were reviewing this at the last meeting, or maybe the meeting before, I had a couple of questions about their budget, and my questions have been satisfied. So unless there are any other questions about it, I'm gonna move to have our minutes reflect we've reviewed and approved section 25 of ONCA 1977. That's my motion, unless there's more discussion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion on the floor with a second. Any discussion? All those, Congresswoman Pratt.
Could you just repeat what you're doing? You're approving section 25 for what?
That's the Gaming Enterprise Board budget.
Right.
I had a question about it at the last meeting,
okay.
So we laid it on. We postponed it. My question's been satisfied, so if there are no more questions, I may assert the motion.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to know what I was getting ready to vote on. Thank you.
Reviewed and approved, yes.
There's a motion on the floor with a second. No more discussion. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Motion passes. Next item on our agenda is the Oklahoma Indian Gaming Association presentation, Tribal State Gaming Compact. We have Chief here, Attorney General Wells is here. We have CEO of Gaming, board members here from the Gaming Enterprise Board and OIGA and Assistant Chief. Chief, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Present today for the Oklahoma Indian Gaming Association is their chairman, Matt Morgan. Also their director, Sheila Morago, and legal counsel, Dean Luthi. They are here to present a report to you about the current status of the gaming compact from what they know on a statewide basis, working with all the tribes who are reunited together. And we request an executive session on this report.
Chief, do you want executive session right off the bat, or is there anything that we're able to discuss in open?
I think you are correct. We can go through what is public information first, and then I would defer to either one of the three I mentioned to tell us when they are in areas, and then go into executive session at that time.
Okay. I'd like to invite OIGA up to the table, and the way that we'll proceed. So the way that we'll proceed is anything that can be discussed on the air as a matter of public record for our listening audience, go ahead and talk about. Mr. Luthi, at the point that we need to go into executive session so that we are off the air, please let me know and we'll have a motion to get us there. Yes, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Could we please invite Chief Standing Bear and also the Attorney General to the table to join us in this discussion?
You're in here.
Can I bring my coffee?
Yes.
Horse.
Bring me some.
All right. OIGA, you have the floor. I don't know who wants to speak first, but
I'll start. Thank you. I just want to say thank you so much for the invitation. We appreciate your time. We appreciate having the audience here today. My name is Matthew Morgan. I am employed by the Chickasaw Nation as Director of Gaming Affairs, but I serve as the Chairman of the Oklahoma Indian Gaming Association. I've been in that position since June of this year, previously serving as the Vice Chair for 2 years. We learned, like many of you did, about Governor Stitt's intent to renegotiate the compact through an op-ed in the Tulsa World the Monday after the 4th of July weekend. He had reached out to a handful of tribal leaders that weekend prior to and let them know that he intended to ask for renegotiations. But nothing was ever said of that. One, he wanted to maybe double or triple the rates, just that he wanted to talk about the rates. And two, he never mentioned his view on the compact. If we could not come to an agreement, that it would terminate come January 1. So all those facts were very surprising to every tribal leader in the state, and kind of started this discussion under those circumstances. And I surprise, very adversarial. To date, I don't think that's changed. And I say that because I don't know if you've looked at the Daily Oklahoma today, but the Daily Oklahoma has an editorial where they've interviewed Governor Stitt, and he's doubled down on his stance of that he believes the compact does expire, that it's not meant to be adversarial, that he wants to see the tribes succeed, but he feels it's his duty as the governor of the state of Oklahoma to renegotiate the entire compact, and that he believes that the state of Oklahoma and its 4 million citizens are behind him. We have engaged in public a PR effort under the theme of the United for Oklahoma. And we can go into specifics of that when we move into a closed session and answer any questions you have there. But know that the tribes have been united in that effort. That effort has reached out to every corner of this state. That any tribe that is willing to talk to them and tell their stories and how tribes, not gaming, but the tribes benefit their local communities. What are you doing in terms of infrastructure, in terms of education, in terms of programs and services, health care, and philanthropic efforts? And nothing is said about gaming or the compact. It's just to focus on what tribes are doing to benefit communities. And every tribe has that unique story they can tell of how they benefit not only their citizens, but the surrounding community. We've also asked the people that they partner with, those third parties, to come on record and tell that story also. So it's just not coming from the tribes themselves, but it's coming from your local partners and stakeholders in that discussion. We've also engaged at OIGA in a legal committee. We've tried to silo these out. PR is one silo, legal is a second silo. Our general counsel, Dean Luthy, leads that effort where we're bringing together all the tribal attorneys that want to discuss on a regular basis and walking through both what we know, any conversations we're having, and looking at worst case scenarios as attorneys tend to do. You know, in the worst case, what happens, what is our response? And we can go in further detail on that during closed session. And then the third group we've engaged is tribal leadership. We have reached out to tribal leaders of every tribe, understanding that each tribal government is unique and different, and that we invite them to bring whoever they deem tribal leadership is into that discussion. We close the doors, and we want tribal leadership to sit across the table from each other and have a dialogue on how they feel about this subject. We've now had three of those meetings, the first of which was during the OIGA's annual conference in July in Tulsa. We had one 2 or 3 weeks ago in Shawnee. That was, I think, the 22nd. And then we had one yesterday here in Tulsa at the Osage Casino. We can get into specifics of what is said there, but know that we have all the tribal leaders in Oklahoma unified on its messaging back to Governor Stitt. That one, we believe the compact automatically renews and everything that needs to happen has happened to trigger that. And two, if you want to talk to the tribes about something, show us what that something is. Bring us a proposal. Because tribes are not being unreasonable. We're operating under our compacts with you. And what that compact says is, during this 180 days prior to January 1, should either party want to renegotiate, they're able to offer a proposal and ask for a renegotiation. I have not had one tribal leader tell me that they would not at least consider something that the state would send. But to date, I think yesterday somebody told me it's been since January 6th that he's made this announcement. We've not seen one proposal. And as such, tribes are telling him until we get that proposal, we're not willing to sit down and discuss. And we've not tried to tie to any tribal hands. Not one tribe do we say you have to agree to something. It's we want you to be open to look at something and then decide each tribal leader for themselves and their tribe to decide if that proposal makes sense for them. So that's my opening statement. And so, like I said, we can go into specifics off the record, but I'd like to introduce our executive director, Sheila Morago, as well, and Dean Luthy. And Sheila and Dean, I invite y'all to make any open comments that y'all would feel appropriate at this time.
Just real quick, thank you so much for inviting us today. While we're not in executive session, these are some of the things that we've been putting out in the public. As you know, the Oklahoma Finance Officers Association did a statewide impact study. Those numbers were released the week before OIGA. Those are the numbers that you'll see on there. Our OIGA study will not be complete for a few months. And so, given the importance of this and those numbers are just overwhelming, that's what we've been using in terms of the TV commercials you will see. This Sunday, I believe you'll see a very big push in print media, specifically in Tulsa and Oklahoma, in cover folders. You know how the Sunday paper comes with a bit nice big cover on it. And in smaller papers throughout the state, you'll see full-page ads. So again, reiterating strong tribes, strong Oklahoma, and giving people the sort of numbers that they have not seen before. We've been extremely... surprised at the fact that the general Oklahoman, you know, general citizen doesn't know what tribes do, doesn't know the impact that not just the gaming has, but the tribes as a whole, infrastructure, healthcare, education, not just on the revenue share that we give to the state, but what they do individually with their communities, football fields, jerseys, backpacks, to whatever the schools need. And those are the things that are not widely known to the general citizen. So those are the things that we're coming up with. And so that's what you'll be seeing from now on until this is over with.
have a question.
Sure.
Is the push for that media and those numbers going by year or to date? Meaning, since Oklahoma passed gaming, are we tallying up the numbers that each tribe has contributed to healthcare scholarship money that our students are going to in-state schools and contributing to state universities and hospitals? So is that going from, like, from the beginning of time, those numbers, or are we looking at, like, in the last year we have contributed?
They're looking at a specific year on those, and I think the last year that every tribe had numbers for that impact study was like 2000 and I want to say 17 was the numbers that they looked at to produce those numbers. They will, in certain instances, you know, like for the gaming compact exclusivity fees, the number there is over $1.5 billion over the life of that. So they will give those lifetime numbers, or they'll say, you know, over $148 million was given last year in exclusivity fees. But as a part of that PR campaign, if you go to that website, which is UnitedForOklahomaJustMashTogether.com, they have on each one of these subject matters, whether it's education or infrastructure or philanthropic, they have drop-down lists. So you can go further in there and drill down to just as much as you want to see within that website. And within those specific topics, if they've done an interview with somebody that has addressed that topic, there might be a video clip. And at that video clip, you know, you can click on it and share it on your social media, because we want this general citizens of Oklahoma to understand that it's just not tribes that's doing this, and that everybody's involved in this, and look at every point that tribes touch throughout the communities. Because again, our big push for tribes is rural Oklahoma. That's where we're located for the most part. Rural Oklahoma gets it, but sometimes our urban centers don't get it. Sometimes our urban centers get it more in philanthropic needs, because we do have a lot of citizens that live in the urban areas too. But if you want to drill down into subjects on the website, you can drill down into some of those numbers. So you go into specifics of healthcare and what is that? I think the term, and I'm sorry if I misquote this, but like $88 million in 2017 is the amount of money tribes save the state of Oklahoma. Because when people come into our healthcare and clinics, the state does not have to try to get the federal government. The state doesn't have to match that reimbursed on Medicare dollars. That come up to $88 million last year.
1 year.
You know, most citizens of Oklahoma don't know that the state saved $88 million because we served our citizens at tribal hospitals. Governor Stitt did not know that the Muscogee Creek Nation's community hospitals serve the entire citizens, just not the Muscogee Creek citizens. And so we have stories on the website of individuals going into their hospital saying that, but for the Creek Nation, I would have had to drive 30 miles into Tulsa to receive health care, but it's in my local community because our hospital shut down, the one that was serving. So Creek Nation expanded theirs to serve everybody. So those stories like that, where you can really see that unique one-on-one personal story that touches everybody's life.
So as you go through and as the campaign goes through, it is sort of setting the table of reminding citizens of Oklahoma exactly what tribes do, not specific to gaming because we're not there yet, but you know, that is something that as an old tribal leader told me, before you have dinner and feed people, you have to set the table for them. So that's basically what we're doing at this point.
Good. Yes. That United for Oklahoma, that campaign has started at least in the Tulsa World on Sunday, and it was a powerful message, and it hit annual totals, you know, total, you know, cumulative totals, and they had testimonials from civic leaders from around the state. It was good. I was impressed.
Thank you.
And that should have been the wraparound insert. Yes. Within the in
cover
that
was the,
that
was the covered the Tulsa World on
that, right. Yeah, that's
Tulsa, right. World Daily Oklahoma, and in the rural papers that are members of the Oklahoma Press Association, you will see one page ads come out over the next several weeks within those newspapers as well, to make sure we try to hit as many segments as we can.
And yes, and the commercials on TV, and you'll see those are, yeah, and they see that you know, is paid media. If you look in, and you can see the breadth of interviews that Chairman Morgan has done, that's our earned media. So every time the administration or Governor Stitt has an op-ed, there's another op-ed coming right behind it. There is interviews. We have been fortunate enough to have news and interviews come up in U.S. News, The Washington Post, not just Oklahoma, but nationwide and actually worldwide. For some reason, this is a big story in the UK. An article just came out in Casino Review, which is a UK magazine, gaming magazine. So you'll see a lot of that as well.
Mr. Luthy, do you have any comments?
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
I need you to speak into your microphone.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, and I appreciate all members here today asking for our input. I hope we can help you. My comments probably would be best in an executive session because the nation is a member of OIGA. I'm here today as general counsel for OIGA, so I regard what I have to say today as a communication from OIGA's lawyer to one of its members, and that's probably best to be privileged.
Thank you. Do any of the members of the committee have any more questions before we go into executive session? No? Congresswoman, Chair will entertain a motion to enter executive session.
Second.
For confidential and proprietary matters. Motion on the floor.
Randy, Angela, second.
Motion on the floor to go into executive session with a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Motion carries. We will get set up to go off the air and enter executive session. Thank you.